Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to the Sunday edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia through the facilities of People's Internet Radio, and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. People's Internet Radio is a viewer-funded station, guys, so if you like what we're doing, please hit the donate button. Much appreciated for any funds coming into the organization. We have great guests and great hosts on this show, that last show just done. I'll tell you, I could listen to that lady talk for hours, but I've had two great guests, two really good Canadian Patriot guests joining me today. I have Kevin Johnson, freedomreport.ca, and Rick Boswick, who is a Canadian podcaster, does a lot of work on YouTube, and I believe you're getting involved with freedomreport.ca in your neck of the woods. Is that correct, Rick?
Yes. Hopefully we've been in talks. We're working on freedomreport.ottawa, as well as a couple of different locations across Canada.
Cool. You know, but the thing is, though, guys, I think I'm going to maybe renege on the offer to have Rick be a part of freedomreport.ca, because I realize he's a better looking guy than I am, and that's going to detract from my ego.
Well, we could always put a bag over his head and make him the unknown radio host, okay?
I would do that, but I'm all fresh out of the hammer, guys.
How are you doing? How are you doing today, Kevin? And like I said before the show started, I'm going to start the day with our pet peeve of the day, or we could even elaborate it to our pet peeve of the week, but then we'd be talking about multiple issues. But what's really on your mind today, Kevin? We'll start with you first.
Pet peeves. You want to talk about pet peeves? All right, let's do just that. My biggest one is cowards. I despise cowards. I'll explain this. This is a story that I've told before, and I'll tell it again. The last time I felt fear, I was 25 years of age. I was bitten by a rattlesnake, and I had to walk 3 km back to my car. And by the time I got back to my car, the leg was turning somewhat black in the area. And in fact, I've still got a hole in my leg from where all the tissue died. I drove into town and drove to the fire hall, to which I was then told it was a defunct fire hall. It was actually a museum. They drove me to the hospital. You know, that when you have that type of an event, like, that's a real thing to fear. But Canadians fear everything. They fear that silly little word called racist, and they're willing to trade you in, sell you out any way they possibly can, just so that some uneducated jerk who does not deserve to even be here might call them a name that they seemingly have no defense for, which of course they do. They just don't think they do. Cowards will always turn you in, sell you out, stab you in the back, and cut your throat so long as their little comfortable lives are protected. So cowards are my pet peeve of the week or the day.
Boy, we could elaborate on that one. Go ahead, Rick. What's your pet peeve of the day? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. I have a couple that are a little bit more time relevant. One would be it's universal. It goes without saying all the time, liberal hypocrisy, especially concerning Don Lemon's racist remarks. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, the complete outrage and hysteria over it's okay to be white.
Yeah, good points. Good point. I have so many of them that I don't even know where to begin with. But of course, what happened with Stats Canada, the exposure came out about how much they're gathering information on Canadians, the half a million Canadians that had information gathered without their knowledge. You know, people, this really kind of woke a lot of people up in my community and my conversations with people. But, you know, in reality, they've been doing this for years. It's just coming to light now. We do not live in any kind of a free society in any shape or form anymore. The government knows basically when you're taking a crap and how many pieces of toilet paper you use when you're taking it. Mm-hmm. That's how far we've gone, and that's my pet peeve. To me, what happened this week with Stats Can was a good thing, because it did wake a lot of people up to just how corrupt our government is. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, we talked about cowardice, and what I'll say here is that Canadians are getting the raw deal. Every single day, we don't have enough jobs in the country. The jobs that we do have don't pay very well. The jobs that don't pay very well are all either part-time or semi-full-time, so no one's getting any benefits, and no one says anything about it. We have, 70,000-plus illegal aliens entering the country, and what do what do Canadians do, especially white Canadians, what do? Is they call me racist for pointing that out and then go back to their lives. And now they've just found out that they're being tossed under the bus by their banks, which I thought was totally illegal. But they're not doing anything about it. They might write an angry letter to someone, but I think even letter writing is beyond the capacity or desire for most Canadians to participate in. So, you know, Canada, you get what you deserve because you're not doing jack about these problems.
Yeah. Yeah, we see it now. I mean, every day we see the capitulation and the reward system for blind obedience.
Well, you know what? What you said about cowardice is something that I think about every day, Kevin, because right now what we have going on in Canada, there is absolutely no hiding it anymore. You don't have to spend a lot of time looking into what the government's doing to come up with the conclusion that this government is in no shape or form working for the Canadian people. And if that doesn't get people off their butts and get them involved, I don't know what to say to people at this point. It is so in our face what's happening in our country. Our country is absolutely being destroyed right now. And it drives me nuts. Where are the Canadians with testicles? My question of the day, where are men? Where have they disappeared in our society? Well, where are they, Kevin? You know, honestly, I'll let you talk. But to me, it drives me nuts, Kevin, because I go to a coffee shop and people want to talk about who won the hockey game last night or who's playing basketball or what's going on. I mean, totally irrelevant issues in our society. We're in a lot of trouble because the general population is either completely complicit to this for some reason, or they just don't care. And if they don't care, then we're in a lot of trouble. Go ahead.
Well, the left has certainly managed to get a stranglehold on everything, including thought processes. And what is really interesting is I've been fighting against this left crap for the last 4 years straight. And if you're talking about where the men have gone, unfortunately, they're all paying attention to the left. It's not cool anymore to be masculine. In fact, what's that movie called? The Meg, that new one with the shark? Jason mm-hmm. Statham's in that one, and people on the left were saying they're going to boycott the movie because the character of Jason Statham was too hyper-masculine. And I gave one hell of an online lecture about hyper-masculinity needs to return. Yeah, so the left has – they've got a small victory there, but the problem is now that they've got a completely pussified society, men who are not men, we even have pussified police forces. I mean, I've met so many police officers now, and I'm thinking, holy smoke, these guys are completely ill-prepared for everything because all the emphasis in the stations appears to be on be nice, come on, guys, be nice. No, that's not your job, cops. Don't be nice. Get out there and break some heads. That's what we need to do. We were terrified of the police in the 70s. They all had those super thick macho biker mustaches that crawled down to the bottom of their chins. You know, they all had big arms, and you know they were ready for a battle and a fight on a moment's notice. I remember cops in the 70s and 80s. They would pull their the tonfas out of their off their belts there, and they remember the old police stick, right, with the T shaped stick. They'd spin them around and get them around their own necks, over their arms, and just, you know, wrap them on their forearms there, and they were ready to break a face with those things. You know, we respected the law back then because the cops were masculine men. I'll tell you that. They were really masculine. We've got too many women on the force. Women cannot be men. It's not possible. Women cannot be masculine. That's not possible. Even the most masculine butch chick out there is not masculine, period. I see through it. It's garbage. So if you want women to be able to do the same job as a tough guy can, I'm sorry, but you're dreaming. They can't. Because there isn't the physical prowess. That's just how human beings are made. That's not sexist. That's medicine. It's biology.
Well, and that's the Marxist, social engineering of trying to make everything an equal outcome.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because I'm going to remind everyone who's listening to this now that Karl Marx was a wife beater, an alcoholic, a jobless loser, never had a job, never held political office. He never bought toys for his kids. Instead, he would go to the local butcher shop and bring home pieces of discarded meat and intestine and let his kids play with that, which they would do on the furniture in the house. I mean, British spies reported on what a disgusting, filthy pig this guy was. And that is who you Marxist idiots out there have chosen to glorify as some hero of what? Mm-hmm. Everywhere that his policies and ideas have been implemented, the countries have fallen. Look at Venezuela right now. There's cannibalism in the streets.
Yeah, I was just going to say, use Venezuela as an example of where we're going to go if this continues to go on in our society.
Well,
go ahead, Rick.
The reaction to that is, of course, socialism is good, but it's never truly been implemented.
Yeah, real socialism doesn't exist, but this is what's happening right now. And if you take a look at socialism in the last 200 years or 150 years of human history, it's always ended up exactly like we see going on in Venezuela right now. But talking about police, Kevin, I'd like to put a question forward to you guys. I thought in Canada we had something called the rule of law. And I can't refer right to the chapters in our Constitution, but when a prime minister openly and knowingly brings people back into this country that are guaranteed going to harm Canadians, we could talk about Maria Shen in Burnaby. We could talk about the Danforth shooting. We could talk about the multiple attacks that have happened on Canadians here in the last year. And if you look at the source of these attacks, it is being done by immigrants brought in under Trudeau's refugee programs. Why is Justin Trudeau not being held accountable for treason? Why? What's happened to our RCMP? I thought they were the ones that actually upheld the law in Canada and enforced the law. Nah, as far as I'm concerned, Kevin.
No,
okay, guys, I'm just saying. I know, but I you know, right now the evidence of treason against Justin Trudeau would be, in my mind, enough to bring him into any court of law. I just want your thoughts on that.
Oh, sure. Let's talk about the thoughts. There's something out there called a pension that every RCMP officer right now wants to protect. So if you're the cop who's got the balls to go and arrest Trudeau, and there are some, I'm sure, who have put some serious consideration into it, then you're going to have to find a judge who's willing to allow the case to proceed and a Crown attorney that's willing to prosecute. And all of them know that their lives will be made somewhat miserable if they try this stuff, and they're all hoping not to rock the boat so they can just keep making their six-figure salary and get their pension and be done with it. Again, cowardice. And money. There's no such thing as a national identity anymore. There's no such thing in this country as people who are proud of anything. I mean, we have so few patriots that are actually willing to do something that I say this, Canada, you deserve Islam. You deserve this treasonous liberal government that we have. You deserve your private information being scrutinized by the likes of Justin Trudeau. You deserve everything that your government's bringing to you because you're holding nobody to account and you're just far too busy virtue signaling. That is correct. And, you know, I keep telling people this, and I think that my Chinese audience, they are my best supporters in the country. I tell them all, white people are stupid because they're the only ones that tell Rick and I that we're racist because we bring these things up. And Rick's only half white. So, hey, that's the big problem here, Canada. Smart, grow up, smarten up, hold people to account. Sue your politicians. You know, get rallies going around their private homes. Don't let your politicians have a comfortable life. The hell with them. They're supposed to be public servants. And the moment they stop serving the public needs to make them pay for that. Now, don't go to violence until it's absolutely necessary. You can make people very miserable and uncomfortable just by costing them a lot of money and making them uncomfortable in their private lives. Violence is what you reserve for when the Canadian dollar crashes and tanks completely. Then who cares? There won't be a country anyway.
Well, nobody wants to bring about scrutiny upon themselves. I mean, when you're talking with the police, it reminded me of another branch that has been completely overrun by leftist morality. And that is Faith Goldie going against Bell Media, hiring the top lawyer team, I guess, available in Canada and having that shut down. So my question would be, how high up do you have to go to actually find justice these days?
Absolutely. You know what? I'm going to share a real quick story with you, gentlemen. Wednesday, three times a week, I go play hockey. And Wednesday, I was in the dressing room and an RCMP officer came into play. And I sat down and I started having a conversation with him. And the conversation got to just blatant evidence of treason being perpetrated against the Canadian people by our prime minister. And I put this question to this gentleman right to his face. And I asked him, what has happened to the rule of law in Canada and what has happened to the RCMP? And you know what? The guy looked at me, and you know what he said to me? I can't say the words, but he basically said to me that we're effed, is what he said.
Yeah.
And that came right from the mouth. I had a heart-to-heart with this guy. I'm not scared of the police. I'll talk to them anytime. But I had a heart-to-heart with this RCMP officer. And, you know, he's fully aware of what's going on inside the RCMP. How can we get this corrected? The Canadian people have to call out the police forces in this country en masse. And that would be something that I would support 100%. Go ahead.
All right, Rick, I'll let you take that one first.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously there are a lot of good police officers that are just trying to protect their futures, protect their families, protect their pensions. And I mean, that clearly what I see in the Patriot movement, the Truth movement, whatever you want to call it, is you have to have the ability to just let them unleash on you. That critical switch of survivalism has to be shut off for you to be able to do what we're doing right now. And it's only going to get worse.
Mm. Well, Barry, if they only realized they were shooting their children's feet.
Barry.
Mm. It's buying time. Yeah. It's buying time. The whole thing is the progressive left. So it's not going to stop anytime soon.
You know, you cannot really combine those two words there, Rick, and make any sense. Progressive left?
No, well, it truly is regressive.
Yeah, no, idiotic left, moronic left, lost left.
Suicidal left, yeah.
Murderous left, rape-supporting left. I mean, these people are, they're absolutely sick. And where the biggest indication should have been of just how sick the left has become is at Berkeley University there, when the left decided to trash the school just because Milo Yiannopoulos was going to speak there. Antifa and those other morons that are associated with them showed up with a banner saying stop pedo bashing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about white middle class kids walking around with banners advocating for pedophilia while trashing a university. That's how stupid the left has become. And that's exactly what the left is here in Canada as well. They are in full support of your right to beat your wife, your right to rape a baby, your right to steal and sit at home and do nothing, and your right to break the law whenever you want. That's really what the left represents. They want free stuff, and they want you and I to pay for it, and they want you and I to lick their boots while we're paying for it. Well, got news for you guys. It can be fixed. What I'm hoping here is that Maxime Bernier is absolutely serious on everything that he says. I really hope that he's not yanking the wool over our eyes, and I don't think that he is. And we can get him in there with guys like me in the House of Commons. We can start to make the serious changes that need to be made, and if not the serious changes right away, but at least begin exposing all of this information. You know, Justin Trudeau he's just a mortal like the rest of us, and he very much appears to be a highly insecure idiot. This is the kind of guy that would not do well as the head of a minority government. He might even quit at the head of a minority government because he'd be under so much scrutiny from the official opposition and possibly even a coalition government. So we need to have true conservatism back. Right now, the NDP, the PC party, and the Liberals, none of them are that, period. Andrew Scheer he's a combination of two things. He's a lost 10-year-old boy who's two things. Number one, he's lost in the middle of the mall, and he just let go of his helium balloon. It's stuck on the ceiling. So he's just a big, whiny crybaby. I mean, I'd rather have a conversation with the local rabid German Shepherd that is about to be put down. There'd be a better conversation that took place there. There'd be a higher intelligence there. I am so disappointed in the PC party for having put that idiot into place. And we also have to think this in. I was there the day that he won the election, and I talked to all of the major media players that were there, like Brian Lilly and Candace Bergen, Ezra Levant, David Menzies, oh man, some of the guys from The Sun, Tarek Fatah. I mean, everybody was there. And none of us had Andrew Scheer selected even in our top 10 to win that thing. And on the last ballot, he wins because he agrees that he's going to keep milk prices at $6 a bag. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. That's Canada, folks. That's Canada.
We got to look at that election also, Kevin. It was, they went to how many ballots? I think it was 13 ballots, and Scheer won by less than 1%. Am I correct in saying that? I believe I am.
Yeah, 1 or 1.5 is low.
Yeah, so, to tell me that wasn't rigged and it wasn't set up, that he wasn't the chosen one, you'd have to have your head in the sand. Andrew Scheer is just another head of the snake, guys. He's globalist to the core, and everything he says will tell you that. So, Maxime Bernier, I'm going to reiterate what you said, Kevin. I hope that everything he has laid down in his platform, everything that I've heard come out of that man's mouth so far is the truth, and it's truly coming from his heart, that he truly is fighting for the future of our country, because we've been all duped by politicians in the past. They'll tell you anything you want you to hear, and when they get in, things change. But I honestly get the feeling now that Maxime Bernier is the real deal, and to me, he's the only logical choice for Canada. Go ahead, Rick.
No, exactly that. The election, the leadership election, the results, that it was so incredibly close. When you take that, you factor that in, it can justify the perceived ill timing of him leaving the party and creating his own, because everything is exponential right now. It's a bell curve up to hell. And he realizes that there is no time left. And, a lot of the PC, a lot of the conservatives that find the PC party the safe bet are obviously looking at that timing and saying, well, this is on purpose. He's just another globalism. And I understand the skepticism, but what else do we have?
Well,
exactly.
Nothing, really. Well, we do have a few things. Number one is the potential annexation of portions of the country by the United States. And with the way the country's going, if we do get another 4 years of a majority government with Justin Trudeau, that is the only hope that Canadians would actually have, is that Trump says, you know, the hell with this guy. Let's go get him.
Really? Hey, bring it on, buddy. Bring it on, because 4 more years of Trudeau, we're done. Hey, listen, my producer wanted to make one quick comment here, guys. So I'm going to ask Steve to just make his quick comment there. Steve, where are you?
Yeah, I'm right here. Barry, Kevin, Rick. I wanted I wanted to explain something to you guys and a lot of people. Maybe you can research it. But down here in America, the president, the so-called president, the puppet is what I call him, they take their pledge once they get inaugurated. Their pledge reads, and it's, they've had recordings all the way back to 1932, Franklin Roosevelt. That's when they started recording this and filming it. But what the president says is, I do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, what that means, and millions and millions and millions of people, probably 340 plus million, people in America don't understand. The United States of America is that 10 square miles of DC. That's a corporation.
Yes.
What he should say, what he should say on his inauguration day is, I do so solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. When he puts that last word in there, of America, he's pledging to that 10 square miles of DC. He is pledging nothing. His pledge has nothing to do with the other 340 plus million people in America. And it's probably the same way for you guys up there. Probably the same way for you guys up there in Ottawa too. Your prime
minister. Well, obviously, at least for me, a lot of my knowledge base came from U.S. politics. And that's why I think that Canadians are asleep for the most part, is because the election cycles of the United States and the overwhelming percentage of U.S. content that we get through traditional media has us in the dark about our own masters. Mm-hmm. So, when you talk about the 10 square miles of D.C., you could also look at the city of London or the Vatican.
Exactly.
Follow the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow the money.
follow the semantics. follow the wording.
Globalism was always given to us as a shining light, that everybody in the world would be brought up to first world status. But I haven't seen, at least up until like the past 3-4 years, with Brexit, with Trump, with Hungary, with Italy, I haven't seen a major change in the elite bloodline people that have been running the human race through hell for the past 500 years. So now they say that all of a sudden we're changing our stars and we want to, by the way, consolidate all the power on the globe. I'm sorry. No, you're not driving us off of a cliff.
Trust us, guys. We love you. We're doing this for your benefit.
Yeah.
Of course, Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Kevin's telling us that Skype kicked him out of the call. Maybe you could try bring him in again, Steve.
Yes, I will.
But, yeah, we're being set up right now for a one-world government. We can see it in everything that's being manifest by governments through the cashless society that's being pushed hard on us, to the RFID chip that's kind of being brought to our attention as the new cool way of doing things. We see all the conditioning in society to a cyberspace so that they can completely control every aspect of our life. When we get to that point, they will have complete control over everything that we do, and it'll be sold to us as a new cool thing to do, and most people are going to jump on board with it.
They're going to have to play as the saviors. They're going to have to, because even, I mean, I have a lot of liberal-minded family members, and even their hard line in the sand is, I will not take a chip. So we're going to have that. That's going to be post-World War III for them to basically say, you want to be fed? You take this.
Well, that's where they could take us. You know, they control all aspects of our financial world, Rick. You know, they control the money. And this is something I talk about a lot, is that, you know, if governments, these elite bloodlines, the eight bloodlines of the Illuminati, at any point, they can take our economies worldwide and turn them upside down.
Yeah.
And the ripple down effect through society, you know, and I know that the human mind, and I've said this many times, when the human mind is put into a state of chaos, it'll basically reach and grab anything that's going to take that scream out of its brain. People are going to be manipulated, because if you go to the bank one day and you've got $10,000 and the next day you've got $100 and everything's gone up 10 times in price, society's thrown into a state of chaos. They control the money. They can do that anytime they want, Rick. They could burst the bubble tomorrow.
Well, and
the ripple down effect would be incredible. Go ahead.
Interestingly enough, and it relates to this 500,000 personal records. Now, we're about, what, 37 million people in Canada? We're about 37 million people in Canada. What percentage, what representation do you think that 500,000 people would be? My suggestion is that it's a combination of everybody who is like me, who is resisting globalism and the takeover, and any possible Islamic extremists that are funneling money. Just like the top six, I believe it was AJ Elicits, who's another podcaster, and he basically linked the money to Omar Al Jabra, Iqra Khalid, Justin Trudeau, and this is all Kevin will tell you a lot more about it, because this relates to I believe it's IRSA and the different NGOs that are funneling money to extremism.
Well, we could talk about that in Canada, man. Look at the report that Tom Quiggin just released in his inquiry into the RCMP, how much attention that's garnishing. And people are actually, it's the thing about that now, it's actually having to be exposed on mainstream media. As much as they don't want to talk about it, they're being forced to expose this information. So people are starting to pay attention.
Yeah.
You can call Kevin again there, Steve. I was just chatting with him on the phone. And if you can't come in on Skype, I've got a phone number for you to call him.
Well,
he'll join us again.
I tried to bring him in, but I'll try it again.
Yeah, okay. And if not, I'm going to post this phone number in here for you to call, and you can call him into the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just writing it. I'm typing it in here real quick. Bear with me, guys. I can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time.
So. No problem. So if you have a couple of minutes, what I'd like to discuss is Canada for the longest time has been about – 5 to 7 years behind the United States, especially when it comes to this global shift. Now we're definitely, it's clear as day that we're behind enemy lines. We're an occupied government. But still having a liberal globalist government in place, we haven't seen the increase. Well, it terrifies me to see the possible increase between what the leftists were doing, like groups like BLM, Antifa, before Trump won, and now after he's won. I can't imagine the increase in violence that's going to escalate from these leftist groups if we get a major conservative government in. You people in the States are obviously going to see a major increase. Cross your fingers when the big red wave blows through on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at all the early voting numbers in the States there, Rick, and boy, I'm seeing states with 33%, up to 33% in favor of the big red wave. So the blue wave is not going to happen. Every state I look at, I'm seeing between 8 and 10 percentage points favoring the Red Machine. So, this whole hypocrisy, everything that's come out about Kavanaugh, everything, well, of course, one of his witnesses is now going to be charged with perjury. It's up in front of the Department of Justice. She openly admitted that she lied under oath in front of Congress. I mean, it doesn't get any more blatant than that. If people can't see what the Democrats are doing.
Hello, thank you for calling our office. Your call is important to us. So please leave all of your details and we'll get back to you shortly.
That's Kevin's voicemail. Kevin, answer your phone.
He probably seen this American number and didn't know what to do.
Uh-oh, now Rick is, has Rick left the conversation?
Oh, no. I got the wrong one.
Uh-oh. Well, let's get him back in here.
Yeah.
Bear with us, guys. Amateur radio. Hey, I'm paying you the big bucks for this, Steve. Holy smokes, I'm going to fire you.
I got rid of the wrong one.
Hello, I'm back.
Hello, yeah,
you're
sorry
back.
About that.
You, okay. My, Steve pushed the wrong button. So
not a worry.
Bear with us. Yeah, I hope we get Kevin back in here because he's just got lots of good stuff to talk about.
Can you text him my Skype number? That maybe that way he can come back in.
Okay, what if you want to post it down here below, and I'll send it to him right now.
So back to the leftist repercussions of us taking back government. We see how insane it is now. It's going to get into actual like massive violence on the left. That's the only way that I can see it escalating from the point that it is now. The media has no desire to tell the truth whatsoever. They'll tell you the sky is pink tomorrow and call you a racist if you disagree.
You're an Islamophobic, man. You're a bigot. Political correctness makes me want to puke.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it's the biggest weapon being used against us, man.
Well, and it's disenfranchising. I mean, it's a lot of people, like, you know, when Justin Trudeau comes out and he calls 37 million Canadians Islamophobes, then he's technically telling them all, you're an entire country of disabled people. And I mean, do I really want to try and start a career in a big company with HR departments of overweight, blue-haired feminists? Where I'll fear the fact that if I'm caught in a room alone with a woman for 30 seconds, then my life is over.
Good point. You're funny, man. Excuse me just for a second, guys.
But I mean, it's insane land. Like, tell me, you know, I mean, if I could address the Liberal government, please tell me, where's my piece of the pie? How do I continue to become a in your systems, a functional member of society, productive member? That's why I got into this whole podcasting profession. And I learn as I go along, because I have to become my own boss. I have to find my own way against, you know, without jumping into these systems that have been completely destroyed.
Well, that's the whole purpose of everything the Liberal government's doing, man. If you look at everything this government's doing, I challenge people to show me one real beneficial thing that the Liberal government has done for the Canadian people since they've come to power.
Yeah.
And I challenge people to give me one real solid example. But we could show you billions of dollars that have been sent out of our country to countries that absolutely are hardcore Islamic radical countries. Mm-hmm. And this is where our talk, I mean, we could talk about multiple issues of billions of our dollars being sent out of the country. Our veterans are in court fighting for benefits, and Trudeau will give a convicted terrorist $10.5 million of our money. A man that killed an American soldier and was in Guantanamo Bay and had his civil rights violated, and Trudeau gives him $10.5 million. We could talk about issue after issue after issue. It's an endless list, folks. And when I say that, I'm not exaggerating. Everything that Trudeau has done has been to undermine everything that's Canadian.
Hey, Barry.
Yes, sir.
You mind if I explain something else?
Go ahead, Steve. Always welcome.
You know, these people that I'm sure is probably considered the same up in Canada, but the people in here in America that come here with, in air quotations, illegally, the illegal aliens, why the American government gives them so much stuff. They give them welfare, they'll give them food stamps, they'll throw money at him, and the American people just don't get it. Do you know why that is?
No, we've seen this.
Well, in Canada, at least among my circles, that's the common joke right now is when things financially are getting tough, just destroy all your documents, burn your fingerprints off, and then go back through Roxham Road and get $50,000 a year.
Yeah, do you know why that is?
I want to come in as an illegal immigrant into Canada.
Do you know why they do that?
Be treated better than an old stock.
Do you know why they do that? Because these people are considered sovereign, and they treat them as sovereign. Once these illegals, so-called, get nationalized or become American citizens, they're not sovereign anymore, and they are subject to whatever the rest of us are.
Okay.
I'm just going to be on the phone here with Kevin for a sec, guys. I'll be right back.
Not a problem. All right.
I'll sit here and talk to you for a minute, Rick.
Dead air is a bad thing. I've learned that. What else would you like to talk about?
Well, you know, there's just so many things that's wrong with government all over the world that people are choosing to be ignorant of these facts. These facts have been out there for, well, in our case here in America, 40 some odd years. 242 years, 243 years, whatever it's been. These facts have been out there, and people are choosing to be nescient.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting how when I started getting into researching 7-8 years ago, I was a crazy conspiracy theorist. Now I'm apparently a white supremacist Nazi. So,
well, certainly.
So how does that go figure? Because my politics haven't changed. It's just that the enemy has become exposed.
Hang on.
What's going on with Kevin? He's on line green again.
Kevin, are you there?
No, I got to try to bring him back in. And Barry's not here yet. So.
I'm trying to get him in here. I gave him that number. He said he was going to call in right away. So
I'm trying to bring him back in on Skype.
Hello, gents.
There he is. There you go.
I'm glad you lost you back.
We lost you in cyberspace, but we got you back.
Okay. Geez, I don't know what's going on here. One second there. Christ.
Wonders of technology.
I tried calling your phone number. Barry tried calling your phone number.
Hey there, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Loud clear.
Oh, thank God. All right. Go ahead.
I actually tweeted Donald Trump the other day and asked him if there's anything he could do about Justin Trudeau. I haven't heard
that. Good idea. That's a very good idea. When we, little side note, in this summer when we went out to Roxham Road to do a protest with Faith, that was a big idea that that came from it. Is if our government is not going to help us, then how do we get in touch with the U.S. side and actually have a couple of hundred Canadian patriots working side by side with the Americans to shut down the border from the other side?
Well, because that is the toilet bowl for Trump to get rid of all the garbage in his country. So
yes,
that's
true.
No way in hell he's building a wall there. He'll just send us more.
High speed trains.
Well, we'll see what happens in the midterms next week. But I'll tell you, there's going to be some interesting developments in the United States of America in the next little while with all these indictments that they're threatening to open. I believe you're going to see international courts, and I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Trudeau's name isn't mentioned in there with some of his connections with some of the going-ons that we've seen in the last couple of years. I think Trudeau's going to go after international community, not just his own people. Now, I might be wrong, but I do talk with some people down in the States that I do have a great deal of respect, and one of them is Roger Landry, and I had a good conversation with him about the other day, and lots of different things going on. Interesting times. Go ahead.
Yeah. After Tuesday's results, I think that they've beat Russia to death. They can't use that again. What do you think the scapegoat's going to be?
Good question. They'll come up with something.
I think it's going to be internet security. I think it's going to be...
Or they'll orchestrate a major attack somewhere in the United States of America to distract people. There's all kinds of things they use, but it's always the same story. It's always problem, reaction, solution.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kevin?
Well, the whole 9/11 thing has been done to death, and there's enough shootings in the United States of America that even if there was a false flag thing put forward, it would not be viewed as anything different than what we've already seen in the United States. I mean, we've got theater shootings and high school shootings and the Vegas shooting and, you know, cops being called out to go to domestic disturbances and then being jumped by 10 guys and stabbed to death. I mean, there's nothing new that the American public has not already seen. So they could false flag all they want. They're not going to get the distraction out of it that they think that they might, like they may have back in 2001. So let's really call things what they are, is that the left and the elite and whomever else out there that had plans, Trump has interfered with those plans, and they're just going to have to suck it up for either 2 more or 6 more years. You know, hey, hopefully Trump changes the Constitution to put himself in for life, because this really is the guy that we need, big time.
Well, I don't think that kind of power should be given at all. I mean, I do like what Trump's doing. I think that North Korea was a major success. I think that in the Middle East, he has backtracked a lot. Anybody who's researched 9/11, you know, I followed the 7 countries in 5 years plan. So, I mean, there are those issues, but domestically, there without a doubt, he has turned the economy around. And just like the left likes to cherry pick, you know, big false flags or events that work to their narrative. They never talk about Chicago. They never talk about, you know, the 70, 80 black youth that die every single weekend, because it's not on the radar. It doesn't serve their purposes.
Mm. Well said.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to really get to the bottom of what the left is really thinking here, because they don't care about Muslim women all over North America being beaten by their husbands. They don't care about black kids being shot. They don't seem to give a crap about anything that's real. And the only time that they ever come up with anything is when it's time to criticize the white man. So the left is – they've lost a lot of power because they've lost a lot of credibility. Their street cred is dying off very, very rapidly.
Yeah.
And I think – yeah, one of the funniest things going, guys, you ever want to talk about street cred being destroyed? David Menzies destroyed Waleed Kogali. So for those who are listening internationally, David Menzies is a very, very funny guy. I had a radio show with him for 6 months, and he works for The Rebel Media. Yeah, he's in his mid-50s, and he just has a really jolly demeanor about him. He's always happy. I like this guy. Waleed Kogali is the second in command of Toronto Black Lives Matter, like that matters in any way. Waleed Kogali is anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-Chinese, anti-Buddhist, anti-Hindu, anti-Indian. He's a black guy, but he's a racist freaking pig, just like his sister Yusra Kogali is. Mm-hmm. Now, when I met this clown back in May of last year, this tirade about me being a hate monger and a racist and all kinds of really crazy things, and I walked over to him. Now, I'm only 5'5", and Waleed is like 5'4", I guess. And I walked over to him. I said, holy smoke, there he is. Waleed Kogali, Kevin J. Johnson, great to meet you. And I stuck my hand out to shake his hand. And all of a sudden, this fake Jamaican accent comes on. He couldn't do it very well. And he goes, "That I'm not shaking your hand. Get away from me. Get away from me. This is criminal harassment. Criminal harassment." And he goes over and talks to a white cop. Now, he's been talking about killing white cops for years. He goes to a white police officer to say, "Kevin J. Johnston wants to shake my hand. Get rid of him." That's essentially it. I put together a video that looked a lot like a Warner Brothers cartoon, where his face is all cropped out with that really funny-looking balloon thing that Bugs Bunny's face used to come out of. I made it look funny. Well, anyway, the Rebel.media covered the story 3 or 4 times about the fact that Waleed Kogali wants to criticize me, but when it comes face-to-face, he runs to white cops to get rid of me. And mm-hmm. He lost a lot of street cred with that, and it was great that the Rebel was willing to cover that story 3 or 4 times. And mm-hmm. So what I'm saying here is the left, they continue to be belligerent online only, and when faced with the reality of, there's this guy, Kevin, or anyone for that matter that we've been criticizing, they just run away, and they also run away from the real problems. And the real problems are that in a lot of cases in the United States and in Toronto, black men are knocking up young black women and disappearing, not raising their kids, not paying for their kids. This happens all the time. And Black Lives Matter is not helping these single young black moms who are having kids at age 12, 13, 14. They're not assisting in any way. What they're doing instead is calling me racist for saying, "Hey, guys, could you please help these young 12, 13, and 14-year-old girls who have been taken advantage of?" But, you know, for my trouble, I'm called racist and so on. But the average individual is catching on to how full of crap these Black Lives Matter and left-wingers really are. Mm-hmm. And just a matter of time before we can get more of the average individual out there to catch on to the fact that these people are dirt they're liars. And they'll just continue to spin tales of white supremacy and white violence and try to keep that narrative going, which is not really working all that well for them anymore.
Mm. Well, I think we truly sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'll let you talk, Rick. Go ahead. I was just going to make
a comment. I think we really need – a lot of people say we need a serious reboot. Now, how that happens peacefully at this time, I don't know. But, I mean, we really do need to move back to a meritocracy because as everybody's struggling for an ever smaller piece of the pie, the goal to become a protected class beyond reproach is what these leftists are looking for. They want no accountability for their actions. They're succumbed to the same hate mongering and fear mongering that everybody gets from mainstream media. But, you know, the question that I like to pose is if they have their sources of information, like I said, mainstream media and BuzzFeed and fake news, and we have ours, which are grassroots intellectuals and pundits like myself, like Kevin, like you guys, like 100 others I could list if I took the time. Then why is our side so restrained and their side so openly violent? So when it comes back to like Don Lemon and mainstream media talking about fear mongering and spreading hate, they really need to look in the mirror.
Well, just the fact that Don Lemon wasn't fired instantly for his comments
the
other day is gives you an idea how far the left is progressing in our society.
Yeah,
and exactly and Bezos, how much control they have.
Well, Bezos exactly. came out and he's willing to blame the Pittsburgh Mosque synagogue shooting on Donald Trump's rhetoric. When they're guilty of the exact same thing, they always blame their political enemies of the crimes that they themselves commit. Always.
All right, well, that was Joseph Goebbels' tactic. That was a Stalinist tactic. I mean, every dictator and dictator's assistant, they've all cooked up that theory, usually independent of each other, and they've implemented it. And that is to blame your innocent opponent for the same atrocities that you are committing. And that's what Black Lives Matter does. That's what Antifa does. Yeah. This new stupid website, antiracist.ca, whom I was interviewed by yesterday. These groups are so radical in their actions that I would swear to God, I was dealing with Joseph Goebbels. I was with Joseph Stalin.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that interview, Kevin.
It's actually, well, you know what's funny, guys, is this idiot, Ishmael, let me find his name here for you, Ishmael N. Daro. He's a former writer for the Dumpster Fire BuzzFeed. I think he got fired for not being left-wing enough. And what he was trying to do was have an interview with me because it was beyond him. He couldn't figure it out. How did Kevin J. Johnston get 13.5% of the vote in the city of Mississauga? 16,000 and something people voted for me for mayor. And they did so on my budget, which was about $9,000 or less. Mm-hmm. How did this happen? So I explained to him that guys like you and the left, you're radicals, you're hate-filled, you're racist, and people are tired of it. They're sick of it. But what he's going to do tomorrow when he puts this thing out, I'm sure, is he'll say, you see, 16,087 people in Mississauga are racist. You see?
Yeah. That's exactly it. And I mean, deep down, when it comes down to it, everybody's tired of being ruled, right? Everybody has their questions and their disdain for the leaders of this world. And so when you get into an anti-authoritarian mindset, then you look again at these groups like Black Lives Matter and all these other leftist groups that want to step in and tell you how to live your life. And everybody on the right, I mean, I haven't met the exception. Everybody on the right is overwhelmingly of the mindset, leave me alone to live my life and I'll offer you the same.
Mm. That's what it usually tends to be, Rick. And what's interesting is the left doesn't seem to understand that they're not wanted. First off, they're boring. Secondly, they're redundant. Mm-hmm. Third, they don't have a message that anybody cares about at all. And fourth, they're just plain rude. I mean, what would make the average transgendered idiot who wants to walk around in a dress and whatnot, what would make him think that he's welcome at my dinner table or welcome on my property or even welcome to be part of any conversation that I happen to be a part of now? they just stick themselves in your face and start off with their crap. It's kind of like it's like Jehovah's Witness when they show up trying to convince you that they're the right way, they're the light, they're the path, and so on. and you're asking, you're like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. I haven't even had my cup of coffee yet. Could you please leave me the hell alone?
Yeah.
He's nuts.
Exactly.
Right in the middle of a radio show.
Just aren't, they're not wanted in any way because they're wrong and they can't see how wrong they are and they can't see how disgusting they are. They can't see how disrespectful they are. They have no place in our society with their behavior. If they change their behavior, then they've got a place in our society. Now, the other problem, though, is this, that when you've got some guy who walks in with long hair, lipstick, and a dress, and you clearly recognize this to be a boy or a young man or a man in general, why are you hiring people like this? What is wrong with you, man? If you're a normal individual that's got a family at home, why would you want to bring this type of trouble into your business? Are you, you're high, man.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman the burqa and you want to hire that. Why introduce that problem into your personal life? Because I can assure you of this. Muslim-owned businesses won't cater to you, the white customer or the Canadian-born customer, yet they want you to conform to them. No, it's ridiculous. When I see halal, I don't eat in that restaurant or I don't buy the halal product. When I see a transgendered freak show as the cashier, believe me when I say this, I go to a different cashier because I just don't want to be part of that lifestyle. I'm not going to encourage it. I'm telling you, it's aberrant, gross behavior. It's a sexual fetish. You keep that in the bedroom. Put the lipstick on, you know, tie your hair back, put on a little skirt and, you know, pretend to be a chick in bed with your boyfriend or whomever privately. Don't.
Well, Kevin, I got to interject for a second because, yes, I mean, me personally, I don't agree with the lifestyle, but to say it's entirely just, a fetish when there's, I mean, there's overwhelming, I know I'm going to get heat for this, but gay frogs and atrazine, buy polyphenols. We do live in a chemical soup. We are under attack constantly. So there are other factors when it comes to the whole transgender movement.
Yeah, but it still doesn't change the fact that you need to keep it to yourself. If you want to
clean. Yes, exactly.
Don't bring it into my public school and put it in front of my kids, okay?
Yes.
And that's what's happening.
Well,
hey, listen, we're down to 4 minutes, guys. I hate to do that. But listen, I'm gonna pass it around here. I want Kevin to have a couple more things to say, and Rick some closing thoughts. The hour went fast. I didn't touch on half the things I wanted to talk about today. We're gonna have to do this again. But yeah, Kevin, where can people find you? And hey, by the way, Kevin, congratulations on your mayor race. Considering the lack of public attention that you were granted, and how you were quashed, and how your voice was stifled by the mainstream, I commend you on your efforts, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, I appreciate that. My name is Kevin J. Johnston with a T. Most people say Johnson. That is not my name. Kevin J. Johnston here, freedomreport.ca. You can watch me live Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on facebook.com/KevinJJohnston300 or on freedomreport.us or kjjradio.com. Just keep in mind, however, everybody, we do shows every day now, just about. The archive is at freedomreport.ca, so you can see all 1,100 of my videos there. Feel free to watch the show and interact and ask questions. I love answering questions, and if you ever do want to be interviewed by me, just be interesting and let me know that you'd like to be on the show, and definitely will accommodate you. And gentlemen,
awesome.
Thank you for having Rick and I here, because it's always a pleasure to talk to all of you.
Awesome, Kevin. Thanks for joining me today. And Rick?
Yes. Well, okay. My name's Rick Boswick. You can find me online on Facebook at Facts Versus Feelings or on YouTube at Civil Action Information Network. I didn't get a chance to apologize for my voice. I'm getting a bit of a cold. But yes, Barry and I forget your name. Sorry, Robert.
Steve.
Steve, yes. Thank you for having me on, both of us. And it was an honor to help Kevin with his campaign. We were stifled. We were blocked in many, many ways, but we had a hell of a lot of fun breaking through those boundaries.
Oh, did we ever. And I got to tell everyone there that Rick Rick Boswick went above and beyond the call of duty in assisting me and assisting Mississauga in general with my campaign. I mean, he gave up his entire life for 5.5 weeks to both live with me and live in hotels and bounce around from address to address to be with me on a daily basis to run the campaign. So, I mean, between Rick and Derek's story that both live with me for that amount of time, you know, thank you very, very much. And I need everyone to really understand just how hard Rick and Derek worked when they were here. These guys were up with me 12 to 18 hours a day. And there were days where, you know, Rick would just fall asleep in mid-sentence talking to me. That's how exhausted he
was. It was an honor and a privilege, Kevin. I speak from both of our points, both me and Derek. Derek's beside me right now.
And I certainly know that. And I do want everybody countrywide to know that Rick Boswick did go out of his way to bring a sense of freedom and a semblance of normalcy back to the city of Mississauga. So thank you, Rick. And thank you, everyone, for having me on.
Yes, thank you. And to your audience, thank you for tuning in.
Hey, guys, thanks. It's been a slice. I will do this again, I hope, in the near future.
And, I look forward to it.
And I'm going to take about a four-minute break here, five-minute break. My doggy wants to go outside. I got to go outside. And I'll be back in 5 minutes with Ron Stevens from Rock the Boat Radio, and we're going to discuss the United Nations. Thanks again for my guests for joining me, and we'll be back in about 4 or 5 minutes. Well, welcome back, folks, the second hour of the show. Thanks to Kevin and Rick again for joining me. I really enjoyed that conversation, gentlemen, the first hour, and I look forward to getting them guys back on here real quick. Second hour here, I have Ron Stevens in with me, and I've done multiple shows with Ron in the past. Gentlemen, I really look forward to having conversations with. How are you doing, Ron? Welcome to the show.
Doing good, except it's getting dark early.
Well, because you're on the wrong side of the country.
Some idiot went and set our clocks back. I don't know where that rule came up at. But, yeah, it's almost dark here. It's only 5 o'clock.
Well, winter's here, buddy.
Yeah, supposedly. That's what makes us Canadian.
Yeah, well, we get to look forward to minus. Apparently, they're telling us, I was looking at the forecast for our winter here, and we're supposed to be getting a pretty brutal winter from what they're saying. Minus 50 degree temperatures are going to be, they say, the norm in Montreal and some of the big cities. I find that hard to believe, but if that happens, I hope you have lots of firewood in. That's all I can say.
Well, I have lots of firewood, but I don't have a fireplace or a wood stove, so...
That doesn't do much.
I have to put a teepee outside.
I got my 6 cords in, buddy. I'm ready for winter.
There's minus 50. I mean, come on.
I've been looking at lots of different reports about the Arctic outflows, about the jet stream. And,
but this is the same crap as when I was a kid and the Russians were going to bomb us any day. It's just their propaganda nonsense. They can't tell the weather.
In Europe already they're starting to see some amazing abnormalities in weather. I mean, just take a look at some of the things that are going on with weather. Right now, I don't think anybody can tell you what's really going on with the weather because it is changing very rapidly as far as I can see.
Weather is weather unless it's manipulated, and then it's not weather. It's just manipulation. I mean, they did the same thing in Vietnam with the rain. But, you know, it's cyclical. Back in the late 60s, when I was a kid in the Ottawa Valley, it was so freaking cold, it was ridiculous. And, but me and kids, we didn't care, we enjoyed it, and we had to thaw our feet out every day. We'd be out playing, and our mothers would put cold water in the bathtub and stuff us in there and thaw us out. You know, and I remember in the 70s, early 70s, working up in North Edmonton a bit, and it was 50 below. We couldn't shut the trucks down or shut the cats or nothing down. We had to leave them running all night because if we shut them off, they're going to freeze up tight. So, you know, and back in the 70s, they were calling for an ice age. And then, of course, now we have global warming. So it's all cyclical. I mean, we get cold runs and we get warm runs and we get dry runs and we get wet runs. It's just the way the world turns, folks. They play on these things. Oh, this is abnormal. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Well, wait a minute. You told me it was global warming. Well, yeah, minus 50 degrees is caused by global warming, for crying out loud. I mean, these people are out of their freaking minds. Simple as that.
there is manipulation going on with our weather, but a lot of it is natural, and it's controlled by this great big yellow thing in the sky.
Yeah, we've
in geological time, Ron, we've gone through ice ages that have literally covered the whole Earth in ice. Right. And right. We've gone through periods that the Earth was so hot that it you know, life had a hard time surviving. Well, we've seen asteroids strike the Earth and the Earth turn into an ice age. I mean, we've seen a lot of different things happen.
They just use this propaganda because the problem is...
Of course they do, because it fills their agenda.
Yeah, because people don't seem to have any memory. And if you look up the word mind, it says memory. And people don't seem to have any memory anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's so much propaganda coming at them. They can't remember anything from the past. It's like, the past doesn't matter. This is boom, boom, boom. This is what's going on today. I mean, when I was in school, we were taught that everybody was excited as hell when the Northwest Passage melted so they could get a shorter trade route. It was a happy day, not a, oh, my God, the ice is melting. They were happy the ice was melting, right? So, I mean, these people use weather, they use sociology, they use education, they use everything just to move their agenda forward. So we need to, stop letting the psychopaths dictate to us how we think and how we operate. You know, we need more middle-aged goalies. That's what we need. you can't mess with one of those. There's
anybody that nuts enough to get in front of a puck, Ron, there's got to be something said about that.
I used to love pilling goal. I used to love goalie.
Well, so do I, but people think you're nuts, you know. I'm diving to get in the way, and people are diving to get out of the way. But it's something that's bred into you.
Yeah, but don't you find being a goalie is more of a challenge than anything else on the ice?
Well, playing goal is the most challenging position in hockey.
Yeah, that's what I enjoyed about it. Because a goalie
can't have a bad game. If a defenseman has a bad game, nobody notices it.
You're coming at me, and I'm going to stop you, right? I mean, that's a challenge. That's brilliant.
Well, everybody needs that kind of escape in their life in any time.
Right, so that's what I'm saying.
There's endorphins released into my blood, and you feel good about what you're doing.
But see, we should start a goalie society, because if we all acted as goalies and we have these psychopathic internationalists coming at us from every angle, if we were good goalies, we would stop them from taking over our country, wouldn't we?
Well, the puck would stop here, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyways, we were going to talk about the United Nations a little bit today, Ron, and some of the hypocrisies and some of the craziness we hear coming out of the United Nations and what the agenda is. And you know what? Unless people really start looking into it, look into the League of Nations and how the United Nations is formed and who's running the United Nations, a lot of people think when they hear the word United Nations, they're hearing still a good word. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, I got something to say about that.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, I was when I was a child, my parents would, you say, eat your supper. I'm not hungry. I don't like it. Whatever, right? And they'd say, eat your dinner. You know, there's starving children in the world, and you should eat your dinner because there's starving children. And this was the propaganda. And then a little later, we were out with our UNICEF boxes collecting money for the starving children, right? Mm-hmm. And we're propagandized at an early age to believe that the United Nations was this wonderful body that's going to bring peace to the world and stop hunger. And that was 70 years ago, and we still have war, and we still have increasing hunger. So either you completely failed, or that's not your real agenda. And we know what the real agenda is. It's certainly they don't give a damn about the people. It's about control. And what I found really disturbing is I ran into I seen this before, but when I was talking to you off air, I was trying to make up a new logo for a site we're building, and it was about using the United Nations logo to entrap Canada, and I was making it up, and the program obviously wasn't doing what I wanted it to do, so I thought, well, I'll go and just grab UN Agenda logo on that and deal with that. And I came across a picture on Google, which was exactly what I was trying to build. And I thought, what the hell is this? And it's the CAI MUN, is the name of the site. And I would really recommend people go to that. And it's the Canadian International Model United Nations. Now, these are university students in that. And these people are everywhere around the world. And you never hear about it in the media. But this particular one, if when you go to the site, it brings up a video. And in that video, or it's not really a video, it's a video, but you see the Canadian flag is basically entrapped in the logo and is kind of faded out a little bit. And when you read some of the stuff, it's right out of the Rockefeller Foundation, right? It's right out of the planners. All of this stuff comes from these groups, is that they make up these fake scenarios, right? They come up with fake problems, and that's straight out of the Rockefeller Foundation. So you create a problem. It isn't a real problem, but you create a problem, and then you have to find a solution for the problem. And that's what these people are up to. But these are the future leaders, and they're all being trained to act as UN agents, basically, and is founded in 2012 and has grown exponentially since. And these are very dangerous people because they're the ones that are being groomed to implement the agendas of the UN, which is total control over every aspect of your life and all the resources in your country. So yeah. They dictate to you how much water you're going to get. They dictate to you what you're going to eat. They dictate to you where and what you're going to live in. You know, and these people are completely on target with the idea that personal vehicles are not sustainable and private property is not sustainable and hamburgers aren't sustainable and so on and so forth. So it makes them a very, very dangerous group of people, considering that they're having these meetings all across the country and in every country. So, you know, there's nothing good. All you got to do is look at who created the United Nations, and then you know right away it's no good. Like the founding charter members, I think was Stalin and Winston Churchill and one of the presidents, Truman. Right. You know, these are dangerous people, and these are people that did the charter. Give me a break. There's no good can come out of that.
One only has to look at who sits on the board of the Human Rights Commission for the United Nations and look at the top 10 countries and then look at what these countries represent in the world today. And if that doesn't wake you up, nothing will.
Because, no, I know. Like and said, that's
right there in black. It's right there in black and white, Ron.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm so sick of this political left-right garbage. Because, you know, if anybody that's still playing this left-right game is either a player or an idiot, one of the two, there's no way around it. You're either a player or you're an idiot. Anybody that thinks in this country or any other country that Donald Trump's going to save us, I beg your pardon. Now I see the Democrats apparently have a good shot at the midterm elections or something.
That's not what I've been seeing so far.
Well, I saw something today somewhere went by. I don't know if it was on a UN site or where the hell it was, but the Democrats had a not of the Senate, but of the Congress. They had a good crack at getting a hold of the Congress. Whether they do or they don't, it doesn't really matter because it's all manipulated anyways. The voter doesn't have any play in this whatsoever. You know, they put in who they want for the period they want to push what they want. And, you know, the only reason I think Trump got in was because, there was getting to be a lot of pushback, on the so-called right. But if you go and you look in deeply into these main players, they're all connected to the same group. Mm-hmm. So there is no right left. There is no, you know, like when I think what really bothered me when I went and looked at you ask questions. So I'm thinking one day, okay, where did this two-party system even originate from? You know, for having a government, the government should be working for the people and the country in the benefit of both. So why have we got this split going on here? And when I looked it up, it came the two-party system was born out of the French Revolution, which is the same time frame as the American Revolution. And
I've always stated, Ron, that I'm not a supporter of Trump. But to say that I don't like some of the things he's done would be a lie. I like a lot of things he's done, but then you always got to come back to the fact that there's a plan, that he is playing a role, and exactly how that's all going to be played out is a big question. But to say that he's not part, or he hasn't paid his price somewhere, you'd have to have your head in the sand. But what do you say to all the good things that he is doing for the United States of America? I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is that he's doing that's good.
Well, the economy does seem to be rebounding down back there. Now, whether those figures are all being manipulated and we're all being deceived on the figures, but to say that the economy down there isn't improving under his watch, it would be a lie, as far as I can see. And I'm looking at their numbers now, whether those numbers are being. So I'm not saying Donald Trump, go.
I mean, I do like
some of the things he's done.
I see some of the numbers here. I just saw some numbers from Canada that the unemployment rate in Canada is 5.8%. Based on what? I have no idea. Based on what? 3 hour a week jobs? I don't know. Because, you know, other data says that 48% of Canadians, don't have more than $200 left in their pocket at the end of the month. You know, we're seeing the poverty rate rise rapidly in this country and the homelessness rise, but yet we have a 5.8, unemployment rate. That's not possible. But then when you look at the way they do unemployment, once your unemployment's run out, you're no longer unemployed somehow, according to the way they are operated. So if you're not on employment, you're not unemployed. So the people whose unemployment have run out aren't qualified as being unemployed. If you're on welfare, you're not qualified as being unemployed. So they have so many different ways to manipulate the data. It's craziness. But, you know, my attitude with Trump is when I saw the video of him and Hillary with all these, you know, elite whack jobs in the audience, you know, kind of nodding at Trump, you knew who was going to win the election. And, you know, you're the guy because we're going to make a change out here now. So, you know, these are the controllers. But my attitude with Trump is, you know, I love, don't get me wrong. I love the one thing about Trump that I love. Was the saying, you know, make America great again. I think that was probably his biggest thing to date, is try to raise up the consciousness of Americans, because America's really gone in the garbage can. But my attitude with Trump is, you know, it's the Trilateral Commission and global something they have, and the United Nations. The fact that the United Nations is still sitting on American soil
speaks volumes.
It speaks volumes, yeah. Because if you're going to make America great again, and these are the people that are taking it down, then you're going to move them out of there. You know, you're going to fill that. You're going to turn that building into a homeless shelter or whatever for veterans. You know, so he's got a long ways to go there, but. No, I would really encourage people to get off the left-right game a little bit and go and spend some time studying the United Nations. You know, who's doing what, why? Look at the other countries that are involved in it. You know, the United Nations controls your health. The United Nations controls your food. The United Nations controls your education curriculum. And this is what kills me. You know, people sending the kids to school. The kids don't know where the curriculum comes from. The parents don't know where the curriculum comes from or what the purpose of the curriculum is. And most of the teachers don't even know, right? I mean, if you're a teacher, you came through the same school system as everybody else. And one guy goes to be a electrician, another one goes to be a doctor, and you go to be a teacher. But you all came through the same school system. And the public school system was set up for a particular reason, and that was to control the education that you receive, to make you minions for those that created the curriculum, to benefit those that created the curriculum. The average teacher, no clue. They just teach whatever's put in front of their face to teach. And I have, you know, the history of that is from me being in school when I was just totally distressed by a teacher because I plagiarized something, and I only did it once in my life, and I was in grade 6 or something, and I wasn't going to bother with the paper. I'd been outside playing till dark, and this was the age of the new age again, the education age, not like where my parents come from with menial education. They knew how to read, write, and do arithmetic, and then get on with their lives. This you had to have, grade 12 or university or whatever to make it in the world, and we ended up buying a set of encyclopedias. So I just found the subject matter and copied a verbatim, handed it in, expected to get caught. And when my paper came back, it was all red marked to hell, which I just figured, okay, I got caught, no big deal. But I'm always a guy that asks questions, even when I was a child. So I could have left it at that and just said, I got caught, big deal. But I didn't. I went up and asked my teacher what the hell was with this lousy mark. And I was expecting the teacher to say to me, come on, Ronnie, you know you didn't write this. I'm good with that. But that's not what came out of the teacher's mouth. She said, it's wrong. I go, what the hell you mean it's wrong? She said, well, it doesn't jive with our book. And I said, well, I copied this verbatim out of an encyclopedia. So now we got a problem. Either the encyclopedia is wrong, the book we're learning from is wrong, or they're both wrong. And we need to find out. But the attitude of my teacher was, I don't care. Well, what do you mean you don't care? Well, this is the book we were given to teach you out of, and this is what we're teaching you. And that's the general attitude of teachers. Well, they don't ask questions.
Schooling's not teaching anymore, Ron. It's indoctrination. It's been that way for a long, long time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The teachers came through the same school system, so they don't ask questions. They never ask questions in school. They never challenged anybody in schools. They don't challenge the curriculum. They don't know where it came from. They don't know what the purpose of it is. And they don't know that by teaching what they're teaching, not only are they just indoctrinating the children, they're indoctrinating themselves, and they're destroying their own families and their country by teaching what they're teaching. So, I say to people that the teachers are extremely dangerous because they don't question, right? But
what's going on in our school systems in this country, Ron, appalls me. And the fact that parents aren't stopping this. I say to parents that you have to get involved with what's being taught to your children. You have to ask your children questions every day when they come home from school as to what's being put in front of them, and get in front of these school boards and start addressing these problems. Because if we don't, it's crazy what's going on in our school systems. Wow. I look at the CORE program, and I look at SOGI 123 in British Columbia. I look at the Catherine Wynne sex education program in Ontario. Absolute barbaric teachings. It's all like an evil is what I see.
Well, these are satanic idiots, man. I mean, there's only two things. There's a whole bunch of gray area, but the gray area doesn't matter. When you cut it down, there's black and white or good and evil. And evil is the United Nations. The people that created it are evil. I mean, the people that created the United Nations brought the Fed in. They brought the depressions in. They brought the wars in. And now vaccines. These people are asking, and they're asking us to submit to all this garbage that they're throwing at us. But these are the people that already killed hundreds of millions of people.
That's the new norm. But we're raised now to believe that's the new norm. That's the way things are. It's just normal.
This is the norm. They keep doing the normalization program, right? So there's a story. There's a story today. Canadians' doctors grapple with how to approach assisted dying for young patients. Okay, so
why are we talking about this?
And then the story is, do we need to tell the parents? How do we get around that? You know, should a young person under 18 be able to come up and say, do me in, but I'm not telling my parents? So we have an expert here somewhere who is, here she is. And she looks like one hard-ass woman. This Mary Birdsell, executive director of Justice for Children and Youth. she says whether a parent can request assisted dying should be based on capacity, or a patient can request assisted dying should be based on capacity, not age. Okay, so now we have, you know, they're pushing this idea that children, as soon as they're born, they're sexual. They're not children. They're sexual. And now we have, on the other hand, you know, it's we'd like to whack you at the same time. So, you know, when you follow her through, where do you find her? At the United Nations, of course. You know, all of these people, you know, this is the problem. People read the articles, but they never search out the players. And if people would just take the name of some expert that suggested something, and suggestion again is hypnotism, they're not telling you anything. They suggest it to you. They didn't say it was real. They just suggested, and suggest means to hypnotize. And, so they keep punching this stuff and, you know, sooner or later, it, like you said, it becomes normalized. And that's dangerous. So
well, if you tell a lie enough times, people will believe it, Ron.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, we used to do this when I was a kid, you know, we'd tell a story
and pass it around the room
and let it fly. And, it would eventually get back to you, right? And it would have changed somewhat, but apparently everybody believed it, you know, and you'd say, well, I started it. And that's not exactly what I said, but, this is how this stuff works. And this is how you move propaganda. This is really getting serious.
Serious is beyond, you know, that point right now. We're at a tipping point right now, Ron. People don't even realize it. Well, I mean, if M103 becomes law in Canada, then I don't see us recovering from that. That is most
what barbaric. Comes when what becomes law?
Motion 1 M03.
Well, I mean, if you go back to the United Nations, you know, and they say the universal human rights, well, there's not one, there's three of them. There's the indigenous rights. And, I remember one guy saying one time, so I thought it was universal, you know, like are indigenous different than humans? And then there's the Muslim rights, and their declaration states specifically that they agree with the idea of human rights, but only if it adheres to Sharia law.
Yeah.
And I read an article, a few articles, a couple years ago that stated that, that Sharia or Islam is the preferred, government, religion, because it's not secular and, it covers both sides, both the law and a religion, and that it is the best model, for a universal law and religion. So
great. I get to look forward to that.
Well, not really. You know, not really. And then we get these. Then we get these messed up celebrities like what's that Irish singer? That girl ripped up the Pope on Saturday Night Live or whatever.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't draw the name.
I'm having a hard time with it. But anyway,
Sinead O'Connor. Sinead O'Connor.
So our brains are getting older.
What do you call it? Sinead O'Connor.
That's
it. She's just become Muslim, right? And there's a big hoo-ha about that. Then the other thing that people don't understand, I get hell for this all the time on Facebook when I'm not in jail, is that, you know, I've been trying to bring people to the realization that the Jews or the Ashkenazi Jews or the Jews that aren't Jews, whatever, are completely part of the mobilization of this whole Islamic movement, this migrant movement. And, you know, I put in all kinds of connections here, like when they had the killing down in the States or in the synagogue, now the Muslims are coming together with the Jews, you know. Wait a minute, I thought they hated each other. You know, we have the Jewish MPs and the Muslim MPs celebrating or having meetings during Christmas, but the Christian MPs aren't invited. And the same thing here with all this gathering of the Muslims and the Jews now over the synagogue killing. I don't see anything about anybody else except the Jews and the Muslims. And they're both Semitic groups. And if you look up synagogue, you will find the word a mosque involved in that. But if you put in the word church, you don't find synagogue or the mosque. So, I mean, these two are intertwined in history. And, you know, the Jews, I ran for the Libertarian Party in the provincial election they were supplying stuff in that. And it turned out that the head of the Ontario group, and he's a nice enough guy, but he's Jewish. And I didn't realize that at first. So we're talking. And I said, you know, I really agree with most of your platform. There's only one thing that I don't agree with, and that's free trade. Because if we do not produce most of what we need, then we can hardly call ourselves a country or a nation, because that means we're dependent on others, and we can build and grow whatever we need in this country and do it correctly like we used to. And he says, well, there's other ways to make money, you know. And I says, you're Jewish, right? And he goes, yeah, well, Jews are pretty smart. And I said, or tricky. we didn't get any kind of a scrap or not, but the fact is they are tricky. They've always been tricky. They funded the wars between the kings and that way back when. They're the ones that brought forward the law society, you know, and so on. And they're the ones that brought forward the banking systems and stuff. So they're not stupid people, right? I can't say they're stupid, that's for sure. Then that kind of makes us dull, because we don't pick up on this stuff. You know, if this is going to be our country, then this is going to have to be our country. And if it's going to be our country, we have to get back to producing what is required. And the only way we're going to do that is put the tariffs back up, because the guys that sucked our manufacturing out of here in the United States, the Rockefellers and the bankers and that, how do you crush a country? You make it dependent on somebody else. You know, that's how you make a country die and do the right left garbage. So we have to separate ourselves somehow and get back to being what we are, and that's producing for ourselves. We have all the resources, we have all the talent, when people are producing things and growing their own stuff, they're a different breed of people. They're proud people, and they've taken the proudness right out of our people. I mean, our people are walking zombies now. It's really difficult to watch, you know. Try to have an intelligent conversation with somebody.
Well, I know a lot of people are zombified in our society now, Ron. I see that, but there is also a sector of our society that are starting to pay attention.
Well,
the ones that are zombified, I don't know if we can get through them or not. I don't know if that's possible.
I was saying this to somebody the other day, is that, you know, these globalists are actually quite stupid at this point. They've had us in a position of serfdom forever, you know, as a top guy, one of the top guys from the Attorney General's office I was talking to. And, you know, he says, you do realize, Ron, we never left the feudal system. I said, well, I understand that. And that's the problem. People in this country don't understand we never left the feudal system. Somehow they think they're free. We've always been serfs in our own country. We got to break that spell, so to speak. But the internationalists, the globalists, had us basically happy. People going to work, and we used to build stuff here, and you know, people would work in the same plants or whatever, you know, three generations, and people were happy. And now they're putting this major push on, which I do believe is their death knell, not our death knell, their death knell. Because as they got out our middle class more and more and more, and they will jack their rates, and they've got everybody indebted so bad that the people will have no choice but to wake up. And with the internet, more and more people are starting to ask questions, and more people are listening to people like you, and starting to scratch their head, and they're delving into some stuff that maybe they would have never looked at before. and making it and starting to make sense to them. It may not have made any sense to them 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but now it's starting to make more sense to them. So, you know, I'm an absolute firm believer that we are going to win this war, this psychological, spiritual war, because I believe we're supposed to. And it's people like you and Steve who are dedicated enough to keep moving forward. Like, a lot of people got very bummed out here. They spent years and years and years doing this and not seeing any uptake from the general public. And, you know, it takes a long, long time. And so, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, I mean, when people read articles like this about, you know, should a child be able to walk to a doctor and have himself offed without his parents' permission? I mean, come on. You know, the pedophilia crap. You know, more and more teachers are getting busted for screwing with children. So each of these things, you know, it's almost like the propaganda is backfiring on them now. So we'd be hopeful. And
well, I'm hopeful, Ron. I'm hopeful that we do come out on the winning side of this. But realistically, well, buddy, I can't say I share that optimism 100%. Well, like, really, I in my life, I have to be realistic about what I'm seeing right now. And we're only talking about certain issues. We haven't even got into discussing geological events that could change our lives overnight. We are not in control of any of these factors. As far as us winning this spiritual battle, we are seeing right now the biggest spiritual battle in human history. You know, Ron, I'm a man of faith. You know that.
And I do
follow very, very closely what Revelation tells me about this particular time in history. And I'm not the kind of guy that's going to get on here and prophesize and preach about what I see coming for the human race. But the book that I follow kind of lays down really clearly to me what's coming. And, you know, there is going to be a good time in the end. But I think we're going to go through some adjustments. I think we're going to go through some really bad stuff before we get to where we really want to be. Okay.
Well, we have
that's
to.
That's my belief. That's my
we
belief.
Have to. There's going to be, I mean, we've been through some really bad stuff. We've been through two world wars that should not have been. We've been through all kinds of other wars that should not have been. All of these things are plays by some very evil people. You know, so this idea that we're going to have to go through some bad times, we've been through some bad times. And these bad times will continue to pop up until such time as we stand up, say no, and stick our foot in their face. You know, it's the ants and the grasshoppers, you know. The ants are nervous, or not the ants, but the grasshoppers are nervous because they know they're pushing really hard now. And they know the harder they push, and that's why I think Trump got in there, just to kind of settle things down a little bit on the state side. But it's always up to the people. I mean, we're supposed to win this, you know. Revelations, I looked at that a little bit, but, you know, the good is supposed to rise up against the evil. To date, the good has laid down to the evil, and they will eventually stand, and they will lose the fear, and they will take back their nations and their countries. You know, we will operate, not as, like Trudeau said, you know, Canada's the first post-national state. And when you look, at that, logo that they have at the CAI MUN, which I wish people would go and watch that video because it's pretty freaking spooky.
I've watched it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's all Asians and Muslims, and, you know, there's a few white people involved in it, but they're all running around, buzzing around, and you know, they're on a mission, and they're completely clueless. I mean, these are completely, totally indoctrinated, dangerous young people who believe
they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And they're very, very dangerous. And they're the ones that are being groomed to move into the political system, the system is behind the government, the bureaucracy. This is the takedown. So we have to out these people at every angle. So, you know, we're putting up a new site, and we're going to call it Reset in Motion. And because we do need a reset, and I do believe it's already in motion because of people like you and others. And we've been struggling to come up with a particular thing we're going to go after instead of, you know, just, we're going to do some news analysis and that too, but not just, you know, pumping left, right news analysis and that. So, me and my partner in the project, we finally, put our finger on it, and it's United Nations. We're going to really work at that and try to, and you know, just load it up with UN information and analyze it and explain to people what it is. This is the real danger. It's not liberal or NDP or conservative, because they're all players, all of them. This is what we have to concentrate on. So I think that's what we'll do. And,
What do you think of Maxime Bernier? Is there any reality of this guy?
No, there's no reality there. I mean,
I'm asking your opinion. I'm just asking your opinion.
He's a player. They're all players. You know, Maxime, you know, I mean, all you got to do is read his stuff. Look at what he voted for. I mean, come on. I mean, the guy's a player. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a split. This is simply a split. Look at Scheer. I mean, people say Trudeau's an idiot. I mean, if you put Scheer and Trudeau in a playpen together, they get along fine. You know, they're a bunch of idiots. These are really dumbed down people. These are very dangerous people. They just do as they're told. And, unfortunately, Maxime is one of those people, and it's a split. They split the vote, who gets in.
Well, there could also be a positive side to that, and the fact that we now do have another legitimate conservative voice in Canada that might keep.
But conservative. He's not a legitimate voice.
Well, I've looked at his platform and a lot of things that he's saying. Now, we know that all politicians will tell you anything they want you to hear until they get elected. We know that, but his
platform. Well, we do know that
all I want to say, Ron, is if he's true at all to his platform, then it's another logical choice for people to look at, to get information and decide for themselves what's going on.
It's hardly logical, because once he's voted in, he takes an oath to serve the Queen, which is a corporation.
Right.
So there's nothing logical about the vote at all. You know, the people think that they're voting for representation. They're not voting for representation, because you don't have any representation. And if you look at it carefully, we're all members of the body politic, which is corporate. Okay. And when our names were plagiarized, as when they offered our mothers the benefits and didn't disclose the full actions of the contract, and then plagiarized our names, and then basically slaved us, you know that you can't vote, okay? It's all corporate. The only thing they can vote is what they created. They only have control over an authority over what they created. They didn't create you. They created the corporate entity. That's what votes.
Say, Barry.
Okay? That is the voting body. You vote as a proxy for the corporation, okay? Because the corporation is just a piece of paper. It can't vote. Okay, it can't register to vote. So you're acting as a proxy. So if the politicians aren't telling you this, okay, then they're not legitimate. They can't be legitimate if they're not telling you the truth. And if they're taking an oath to serve the corporation, then how in the hell can they possibly be legitimate?
Barry.
They're not. Barry. So, you know, this is why we have to lose this political system, completely lose it, and build a real system of government. And you also got to remember that we didn't create the government, okay? It was given to us.
Exactly. But in the meantime, what other logical choice do we have right now in Canada? I mean, I know the system is corrupt to the core, and it'll always serve the government. But until we can reboot that system.
Well, no, it won't always serve the government. That's why we called, you know, I did a lot of study on what we're going to call our site, and Reset is exactly what needs to be done. And the only way that we can move forward as a people is to reset this. And that means we got to kill this system that's here. Okay.
I agree.
This system is a system of slavery. And why would you want to be a slave of anybody and call it a government? You don't want to do that. So we have to ditch this entire political system and build a system, as they said, in the United States, which they had the right idea, but the United States was all corporate from the get-go as well. The Hudson's Bay Company here and the Plymouth and Virginia Company there and the East India Company, all the same setup, okay? They're all corporate. But, you know, of and by the people, or for and whatever the saying was, by and for the people, that is the only governmental system that can possibly serve the people. Right. And this system that we have, the people serve the corporation or the government, whichever way you want to call it. So it's ass backwards. Everything's ass backwards. OK, we're the servants. The government is not the servant. We are the servant. And as long as that applies, we what are you going to do? I mean, how much longer are we going to play this stupid political game? You know, it has to end. And we're the only ones that can end it, because we're the only ones to have the power to stand up and say, no, we're done with it. We get it. It's a fraud.
Our monumental challenge, Ron, is I understand and agree with what you're talking about. And most of your points I agree with. But getting Joe Sixpack, who's sitting on his couch at home watching his hockey game, still going to work and still getting a paycheck. And even though he knows
he's a camera on me or something.
No, I don't.
How do you know I'm sitting here on the couch with the sick packs watching the hockey game? How the hell do you know that?
He's friends with the NSA.
Because my camera is spying on you.
Say, Barry.
Yes,
Barry, I wanted to add something there. Ron can probably tell
go
you
ahead,
this, too.
Fire away.
Nearly all of his cabinet and all of the people that he's appointed to top offices and stuff like that, they're all Jesuit-trained Israelis.
Who are you talking about now? Donald Trump?
Yeah, Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, good comments,
Steve. I got these people flying Israeli flags in Canada. Like, give me a freaking break, you know?
Well, you look at the Pope. It's the same thing, man. Jesuit, high-level Freemason.
I know. We have no room in this country for Israeli flags, right? If we're going to be a country, we got room for a flag. Pick it, right? You know, I wish Canadians would understand when they go to the hockey game and they stand up proud as a peacock singing "Oh Canada," they're singing a corporate song. You know, it just kills me. It breaks my heart that people are standing up there. We stand on guard for thee. Well, wait a minute. We stand on guard for a corporation that's slaving us? That's pretty stupid.
Every one of those corporations should be criminally held responsible for damage they're doing to our planet. Because there isn't a corporation in our world today that's producing our so-called native commodities that isn't destroying the very essence of life on this planet right now. They should all be held criminally responsible.
Well,
they are.
I know, but they turn it down on you. Here's somebody living in a regular house, maybe driving a used vehicle, getting from month to month, and they blame you for destroying the planet, and people eat that up somehow. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't get that. I mean, we are all, I don't know anybody that is not an environmentalist, and I use that term differently than they use it. Okay. We do not go out and attempt to destroy anything. We appreciate the tree in our front yard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We appreciate walking down the street and seeing a neighbor trimming a hedge or something, right? I mean, we are not the problem, even though they've convinced the general public that they, in fact, are responsible for everything that bad is happening on this planet, right? Again, it's just ass backwards. Our job, we have this huge deprogramming thing that we have to do. I was thinking today, we're going to run out of time quick, but you know the old, you're the same age as me, basically, but, you know, I remember when I was a kid, the screen would come up at the end of the broadcasting or the programming day, you know, and they'd have that logo thing up there, and, you know, we now end our programming for today or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see us do the same kind of thing. We should be all doing this on YouTube, You know, we now end our deprogramming day. Okay. because this is what this is. It's a huge deprogramming program that we have to get into. And that's what you try to do. And that's what I try to do. And so many others try to do is to get people to say, wait a minute. You know, we've been lied to since the day we were frickin' born and we're not happy about it.
Okay. Yeah, Ron, well, I spend a lot of my time trying to understand the going-ons inside of government, and I get a lot of it, some of it I don't understand, but one of the things I do pay attention to a lot now is what's happening to our planet. And I just read a report from the World Wildlife Federation. Of course, it's a government agency, and if whether it's 100% accurate or not remains to be seen, but they're screaming the alarm bells that, you know, all this political stuff we talk about right now is going to mean nothing in the very near future if we don't stop what's going on to the planet.
Oh, the planet's fine.
I don't agree with that, Ron, at all.
Well, you got sucked up there at some point. I mean, the world's fine. What most of what is wrong with the planet was made wrong with the planet in order to push the program to get you to believe that you need to conserve the snot out of everything. Okay. It's just scare tactics. When you consider that all the cities in the world only take up 3% of the land mass on the planet. Okay, so, you know, if you look at it, we're not supposed to use coal. We're not, now they want to cut off our natural gas. Our natural gas is going to be sent to China and India. Our coal is being sent to China and India. Well, wait a minute here. If coal's so bad, how come we had to close our 4 coal plants here, and there's small coal plants in Ontario, and there's 1,800 coal plants in China? And they're all burning coal, and we're all shipping our coal there. But if coal's so bad, why are we shipping our coal for somebody else to burn it if it's bad for the environment? They have to understand who's controlling this crap. Okay,
I understand who's controlling it, but I also
unless
we are being deceived worldwide what we see happening with our environment and our animals on this planet, then I don't know what to say, because I study this extensively, and to tell me now that my planet is not in peril, have to say that I have been totally deceived.
You have been.
By multiple agencies, and yes, if this is what's going on, and they're all involved in this mass charade to get me to believe that what I'm seeing is not true, but the fact that I see it now with my own eyes, I go to the low tide pools in British Columbia on the coast here now. You know, 10 years ago, I could go to those low tide pools, Ron, and see an abundance of life. I go to the low tide pools now on multiple spots on the coast, and I find nothing. And you tell me that the reduction in salmon stocks that I'm reading about from every government agency right now is not true. You tell me that what I'm reading about die-offs of mass animals on this planet is not true.
Go back quickly.
But we're seeing it.
Go back quickly to David Suzuki, who was freaking out about the salmon run being gone and blaming it on a man and our destruction. And 10 or 15 years later, they had the second biggest salmon run in history. It's all cyclical, my friend. It's cyclical.
Okay, well, I'm watching the reports on our salmon, and I'll tell you, my friend, our salmon stocks are in big, big trouble, more than we've ever seen before, and these numbers are coming in. I'm talking to fishermen and local natives here, Ron, that are telling me now that they're opening up their salmon. They're finding growths on the inside, on the outside of the salmon, that they've never seen before, and I'm hearing this right from indigenous native people
that are harvesting fish out of the river. That's not you destroying the environment, okay?
Those who
want you to submit to their global agenda are the ones who are causing the environmental problems in order to get you to submit to their environmental solutions. Okay. So it is not you or I or anyone else that's harming the planet, because people don't do that. It is the corporations and the World Wildlife Fund and all of those people who are causing the harm in order to get you to submit to what they want. So the answer is get rid of them clowns. The earth is a self-healing entity, and it will self-heal, but we have to get rid of these clowns that are causing all the trouble.
Interesting conversation today, Ron. And I'll have, next time we get into a conversation, I'll have some more thoughts to add to that, because I see things happening on our planet right now that Mother Nature isn't going to be able to heal, that Mother Nature was never designed to be exposed to the levels of radiation this planet is now experiencing, and whether we are going to be the generations that actually are experiencing the extinction of life on this planet, that remains to be seen. But these are issues that I follow on a daily, regular basis in my life. But you know what? Where's the sanity? Now, wait a second. If we're going to do this to manipulate people, where is the sanity of bringing nuclear power to the planet when we're talking about extinguishing the very, very microorganisms that produce life on this planet? And that's what the possibilities are with nuclear energy. We see what's going on with Fukushima. Sure, there's a cover-up on it, but the information coming out of that blows my mind. We're only looking at one set of nuclear power plants. We have nuclear power plants built all over this Earth, directly on top of fault lines that are going to create huge earthquakes in their future. How many nuclear power plants is it going to take to see massive meltdowns and massive exposure of radiation to this planet before we kill all life on this planet? Can the planet take that? No, I don't believe the planet's ever been exposed to this kind of level of radiation, because we are the ones that unleashed
trust me, regardless of what they do.
My thoughts.
Okay, the Earth will self-heal itself. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It has the capacity to do so.
I agree. 10,000 years, 50,000 years.
No, the Earth is much, much more able to cleanse itself than that. I live beside, I think, the largest nuclear plant on the planet. They're up to some very nefarious crap here, they want to, dig a hole, just off the edge, of Lake Huron, and bury nuclear waste there. And, then when you look at it, our Lieutenant Governor of Ontario, who is Elizabeth Dowdswell, who was the head of UNEP, the United Nations Environmental Program, was the head of nuclear waste, of which she created, and was funded by all these people. And the idea that, this is going to be safe. It's not safe, but she's from the UN. And, you know, these people are ugly, and you know that if you bury this nuclear waste here, and we drilled the intakes to that when I was a kid, and it was all shale. But they're saying down, way down, it's solid. Everything, there's a flow. You can have a shakedown on the ground at any time. And, building it this close, eventually, somewhere down the road, it's going to leak out into Lake Huron, and it's going to go down through the rest of the Great Lakes and through the St. Lawrence Seaway. And, we're going to have a huge problem. So anybody that's attached to the UN, you know, is evil. Okay.
Absolutely agree with you, Ron. We're over, and my producer's telling me he's got to go take a pee.
Well, Steve,
so I got to close the show out right now.
Do that, so.
Listen, I want to get into this conversation with you again about nuclear. I'm going to throw some.
I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate what Steve does. And we just keep hacking away at it. We'll get it. Eventually. So I thank both of you, gentlemen, very much for having me on the show today. It was fun. It went fast.
Yeah, the hour just flew by, man. There was other stuff I wanted to get in with you today, but we can't do it. So
well, I got a six pack in a hockey game, buddy.
Who's winning?
I'm not sure. The Chipmunks. Anyways, you gentlemen, take care, huh?
Okay. Well, thanks, Ron, for joining me today.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Okay, and Ron, thanks. Thanks for producing my show today, and thanks to PIR for producing this platform for us to share our thoughts. Always love having people talking in the chat and interacting, and it's been a really good show today. Thanks for my guests the first 2 hours, and thanks again for Ron. And you guys have a great week. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all, and bye for now.